So your dad had a house and you were living in one of the rooms.
And I was able to see that by renting out these rooms, he was making quite a decent amount of profit.
Do you think your dad had done my HMO call?
I really wish my dad knew you back then.
I remember Ricky contacting me. There's this guy called Mohammed. We need to get him on the academy. He's going to blow up.
I get deals coming to me a week before they will go to market. I get first dibs on them. Over the last few years, it's been about 50 deals that I've done.
So my whole mentality after being an estate agent for 6 months just changed.
And I was able to do a deal yesterday at 200,000. They started off saying they wanted around about the 210, 215 mark. Every single property that I own now is approximately giving me £1,000 profit a month.
So the reason I wanted to interview you today is because you own 20 properties. You've sold hundreds of deals. You've got your own estate agency. I mean, you're a massive implementer. You went on the lease option bootcamp like a week ago.
Yep.
And then straight away, bang, bang, started securing lease options. Right. And I wanted to just really get your story and hopefully draw some lessons and inspiration for the viewers here. So why don't you start by just talking about how you got into property in the first place?
So originally what happened is my dad had a property that he owned in Reading and he was renting out four individual rooms in the property, and in the fifth room I stayed in that fifth room. So around about £400 a month was coming in per room. So I had about £1,600 coming in there, and I had £1,600 coming in for my wage from my job. I very early on realised that there is a market here where rooms are able to rent out in Reading. So that's how I sort of...
So your dad had a house.
That's right.
And you were living in one of the rooms, but you were kind of helping your dad and you saw the money.
That's right, yeah. So dad's mortgage was only about £200 and I was able to use his method and see that by renting out these rooms, he was making quite a decent amount of profit.
Right.
You know, was...
Do you think your dad had done my HMO course?
I really wish my dad knew you back then. we'll be well ahead right now.
So how did you go from that then to like move it? I mean, your dad is in property. Did he have a lot of houses?
No. So dad just had the only one. This is a residential. We were still living there, but he moved abroad. And I started, I just ended up staying in the house and just renting out the individual rooms.
So what were you doing as a job?
I was training to be an accountant at the time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So how did you go from that, which is your dad's house, to you getting on the property ladder and you building your empire?
I think very early on, I realized how the passive income that was coming from dad's property and from my job, I realized how that's taking up a lot of my time, whereas the passive income was making me the same sort of money. So I realized I wanted to do more of that. And
right.
That's when I first bought my house next door to dad's, and I did exactly the same.
Okay.
I rented out the individual rooms and I was able to earn quite a decent amount of money from that. At that time, it was quite easy to get a mortgage. It was
a lot, you know,
times back in 2007, 2008 were a lot easier. But then the crash came, so I bought the most expensive house in West Reading. So it was difficult, but it always rented out. So I never really worried about the crash because it constantly kept renting. So I wasn't really that bothered. Even now people are worried about a crash happening, but it doesn't make a difference because your properties are still rented out. They're still going to be producing income for you.
That's such a good point. So basically, even if you buy a house and the house price drops, as long as it's producing passive income, wait for it to go back up again.
That's right. And even if interest rates go up, and they are going up and people are worried, however, it makes no difference. If a property is making you profit, that's the main thing.
And the thing is, people are worried because they're doing the math and they're saying, if I buy this house and rent it out, I'm hardly going to make any profit. But if you rent it out room by room, or as you've been doing more recently, serviced accommodation, then actually you can still make considerable profit.
Yeah, and that's how you do it. You buy, a lot on your course, you've taught us how to buy, refurb, refinance. That is the method. If you really want to build a portfolio, and that's how I've done it over time, I've bought, I've refurbed, I've either sold or I've remortgaged and bought more properties.
How many properties do you own? I know you control a lot of properties, but how many do you own right now?
In total, it's around about 20 properties, and that's including JVs.
That's awesome. And how many do you control?
I manage around about 500 properties across the country.
Damn. When did you start deal selling?
I've actually been deal selling since, it's been about 10 years. I started in Reading, actually.
Interesting.
But when I started deal selling in Reading, I was doing HMOs. And
right.
It was exactly what I knew what I was doing. However, the market became very saturated in Reading. And so I stopped deal selling. And the reason why I stopped deal selling is because I was only specializing in HMOs.
Yeah.
And I stopped because if I couldn't rent out the property for my client, then I wasn't gonna be a bad deal sourcer and offer them something and realize that they couldn't rent their properties out. So I stopped deal selling. And then I've restarted about four years ago, mainly in different locations like Liverpool, Preston, and Coventry. And that's when I started building up a portfolio again of new clients. Over the last few years, I've done about 50 deals that I've done for investors.
Wow, and how much do you charge on average?
Anything from £3,000 to £6,000.
And you've done 50 in the last couple of years.
Done 50 in the last.
See, that alone is like a really good income. If you just did that and nothing else,
oh yeah,
you'd be very wealthy.
With our business, what we're doing is we're offering a turnkey service. So we help find the investment. We help project manage if there's any refurb that needs to be doing. We will also rent the property out. We will manage the property. We help them refinance.
So you're getting paid every step of the way, but also you're making it hands off for the investor.
We are. We're making it completely hands off because a lot of people don't have the time. They want this to be as passive as possible, and we are that solution for being as passive as possible.
That's awesome. What about as well BRRs? What do you think about BRRs in this market?
BRR in this market, you know, my recent example is we bought something in Liverpool for 270,000. We are spending around about 120,000 in refurbishing the property, but we are looking to remortgage that property around about £500,000.
So hang on, you bought it for how much?
270.
How much are you spending on it?
About 120.
So in total?
390.
And then the end value is 500?
About £500,000.
My guy. When did you find it?
I found it in November.
Well, how? How did you find it?
Through an estate agent. But it was a good one that I had already built up a relationship with. And what I was able to do is, the great thing with the Liverpool and what I was able to do was able to find tenants before I purchased the property. So I have tenants move in on the 1st of July this year. I was then able to secure the property. I purchased it in March, started the refurb, which should be complete. Everything should be completed before the 1st of July.
How do you find the tenants before you even buy the house?
I was able to show them examples of other properties that we have in the area and say, this is what your property will look like, but this is the one we're buying for
you. So now you know what the rent's going to be. It passes all the stress test. Yes. You've not got any void periods. No. Damn, smart. Question, who are the tenants?
Our students.
What happens if they change their mind?
And I'll find some more students.
Right.
But they're all on one AST.
How much rent are they paying?
So they are paying £135 per week per person.
Just over £3,500. That's not bad, bro.
Yeah.
So what are you buying BRRs aggressively yourself and packaging them yourself? And if so, how do you decide when you keep it yourself and when you package it yourself?
No, I don't make any difference. For me, it's making sure that I can't go around buying everything. I'd love to be able to do that. Sure. But I have investors who are really good investors that want these sort of deals. So anything that I find, I've even found the same deals on the same roads that I'm purchasing on that I will sell to one of my clients.
Where do you find the investors to sell the deals to?
I think mainly through my estate agency. A lot of the people that I've built relationships over the time, a lot of my clients come through the estate agency.
Can you legally, as an estate agent, charge a fee to the seller and the investor, or would that be a conflict of interest?
It is a bit of a conflict of interest. However, what I'm doing is my deal selling business is completely separate from my estate agency.
Sure. So you're not charging like a fee to the seller and charging a fee to the investor. No. You're deciding, okay, this is, and that's another thing about people sometimes say, why would I pay a deal sourcer when I can just go to an estate agent? And the answer is because an estate agent's obligations are to the seller and they're working in best interest of the seller. Their intention with the estate agent is to get the highest price. Whereas if you're paying a deal sourcer, their job is to get the lowest price. Yep. So the fee that you might pay them £3,000, you're going to save way more than that 100%. Through their negotiations.
100%. And that's what it comes down to. It's negotiating the best price. You know, that is one of the things I do quite well, where I'm always going playing tennis with the estate agent. And I'm saying, right, they might say this property is worth £210. I'm saying, no, I think it's £190. So let me start off my offers at £190 or a little bit less and then build it up. And I was able to do a deal yesterday at 200,000 for a property that they started off saying they wanted around about the 210, 215 mark. Yeah. So I still got between 10 and 15,000 pound off what they originally wanted.
And you're right, it's a buyer's market now. The market is beginning to change.
It is, and it's changing, and I think you've just got to be on top of that.
Everyone's moaning about the interest rates and stuff. Oh, interest rates are high, all this. But it's like, hang on, the fact that everyone's moaning means that they're not all buying. And the fact that not everyone's buying means that if I'm buying, I can choose what price I pay.
Exactly. It's just buying the right way. And don't be scared about investing right now, because if you're If you're buying in this market, you're refinancing in this market, you're in this market already, as long as you're getting the right rents, then you're doing really well. So
why was it only a few months ago when you met me, came to the training, joined the academy? Why now?
So Sam, you firstly kept on coming up on my TikTok. I kept on seeing you pop up and I thought, right, this guy really knows what he's doing. I followed you, I was watching a lot of things that you're doing. I thought, this guy, I've never ever been to see any mentor before or done anything. Everything I'd done was on my own. However, seeing what you were teaching and how you were implementing and the way you put yourself across to everyone, that's what attracted me. So I said, I have to go and learn more about
it. Tell me the story then. So what happened? So you see a TikTok video, what happened?
I just saw the TikTok video and then I actually contacted you through through TikTok. I'm pretty sure I tried to contact you through TikTok, never got a response.
I don't respond on TikTok because I get so many thousands of messages. I've got a thing, I always respond on Instagram.
Yeah.
But as soon as I start responding on TikTok, it's going to be a whole new, but maybe I should. So sorry about that.
Okay. And then I actually got through on your website and that's when I emailed in and they booked me in for the discovery day. I came first to the discovery day.
Met my team.
I met your team. I met Elliot. He was great. And that's when I sort of thought, okay, I think I need to do this. But I had to run it past my sister. My sister is sort of in charge of making sure all the financial decisions are made.
Right.
So I do like to run things past her. She does work in my company, but she is someone
that... I remember Ricky contacting me and saying, there's this guy called Mohammed. He's already really successful. We need to get him on the academy. He's going to blow up, but we didn't manage to get him. He left. He didn't register for anything. And he said he needs to speak to his sister. And normally when people say they need to speak to their sister, in our mind, you know what it's like in business. Oh, yeah. We think... We'll never see them again.
But no, I came back on the next discovery day with my sister and Taz as well. Taz is my mortgage broker. And we all decided that it was the right thing for me to do and for us all to do, actually. So they will be on as well very soon.
Another question that's interesting for you as well is, you're making a profit of about 25 grand a month. You've got a lot of properties. You're quite wealthy. Why was it such a big decision joining the academy? Because for some people, joining the academy is a huge amount of money. But for someone in your situation, it's not a huge... I know it's still an investment, but why was it such a big deal? Why did you need to keep coming back? And
I think for me, it was... I wasn't making a huge amount of money at that time. When I made the decision to join, I was actually making quite a big loss through my essays.
Right.
The essays were making me huge losses. And that was where I struggled a little bit. I wanted to find new ways and methods of how to improve. So the essay one was the most attractive to me at the time.
How were you losing money with
during the winter months?
Yeah,
they wouldn't go. They just wouldn't go on. And I was making a lot of mistakes. Number one, I was only using Airbnb, so I didn't have a channel manager. I wasn't with Avivo. I wasn't doing anything of the sort, and I wasn't even using Booking.com. So that was one of the things
that
I needed
to
change.
A lot of people think that you just stick it on Airbnb and wait and do nothing. But actually, this is a business. No. It's about having it on the right online travel agencies, pushing it, marketing it properly. It's a business.
Yeah, so it was those things that I realized straight away I needed to do, learn about more about essays and how to manage things properly. And those on your course, I was able to do that and implement the right things and team up with the right people. I've actually teamed up with Academy members in working and making sure that the ones that I do currently have are working successfully.
Why do you think that serviced accommodation has become so popular over the last few years?
It was something that was missing. You know, when I go to Liverpool, I used to stay in hotels a lot of the time, but having the extra space and having been able to, you know, go to places where you've got your own cooking facilities, you've got your own space, is having that extra space that I think people really need.
I think so as well. And for me, when I travel, I like to travel with my family, my wife and kids. I've got three kids. We can't stay in a hotel. Even if we get a hotel suite, there's not enough space. No. I can't be having my kids in another room. So it makes sense to book a two-bedroom apartment, a three-bedroom apartment, or a small house for a few days. And where can you do that? Well, you can do that with people's serviced accommodation properties. Another thing is as well, what do you think of all the changes? Like Section 24, the tax changes, tenants' rights, scrapping Section 21. Like, as somebody that's in the business, I mean, what do you make of all, how much of a bashing?
It is. It seems like everything is constantly against landlords. Everything is against us trying to, you know, we are providing great accommodation. They're really nice renovated properties. They're nice properties, but the government hasn't allowed us to do the right thing. They're always stopping us from just making the right steps. And I just, it's something that's making it really difficult for landlords. However, there are ways which, you know, you need to just make sure you're doing it the right way and learning to do it.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing as well. What worked 10, 20 years ago in the property market might not quite work in the same way today. I mean, if Labour get in, they're talking about having a register with all landlords having to be on the register. Yeah. We know there's probably going to be even more legislation. Yeah. With the tax changes, I think it is becoming harder to just save up a deposit, buy a house, rent it out. But the buy-to-let market, I don't think it's dead. I think there's a place for it, and I think you can still make money doing it, but it's not as lucrative and as easy as it was 10 years ago.
Every year, things seem to be getting tougher and tougher. And, you know, I know that just conversations of how, again, no tax relief on the interest payments. So people are going to struggle, but the methods that you're teaching us, the way of how to do things, and if we implement them in the right ways,
yeah,
then we should be successful.
Well, that's the thing. With serviced accommodation, you can get tax relief. And people don't realise this. It's not just about getting more profit. It's about also navigating through some of the legislation. Of course, they might legislate short stay lets at some point. I'm sure they will. But it's always about keeping up, isn't it? And being creative and adapting. So what happened then? So you joined the academy after spending a long time thinking about it and getting advice from your sister, your accountant, your lawyer, your dog. So then what happened?
It was making those losses, those winter months, making £7,000 loss a month.
Damn.
During the winter months. So I was really feeling the crunch.
Yes.
So money that I was making on my HMOs was being pumped into the SA's loss that I was making.
Ouch.
So that's where I decided that I need to make a change. And that's when I came on board, started listening to everything you were teaching. I spoke to the likes of even Darcy. She was fantastic. Now I'm going to be looking forward to seeing what happens this winter, but I have other options. You know, so I have ideas and I know what I have to do to implement it. So as soon as I see some of the red flags, I know what changes to make. Mm. However, I don't think I'm going to get to that position because I'm already making those changes as we speak. So
that's
it's
good.
Already turned a corner. Every single property that I own now is approximately giving me £1,000, between £800 to £1,000 profit a month.
That's great.
It really has turned a corner and I'm really, really pleased with it.
So what's happened then? So when did we first start training together?
I started about 3 months ago.
So what's happened in the last 3 months?
Just anything you've taught me, I've just gone back and I've implemented it. And those are the changes I needed to make. And that's the main thing for me. It's implementing the things that you have taught. So anything to do, you know, even with the SAs, it's going with the channel managers. It's being on the right platforms. So these are things that, yeah, I could have probably learned outside, but being told and taught by you and the way you simplify it,
yeah,
that really helped me. And you do simplify things. I think a lot of people like the way you make it so easy and make it so straightforward for us to be able to understand how to deal with it.
Well, yeah, because I've said this to you before, man, I'll have to sit with like an accountant, for instance. You know how accountancy works because you trained as one, and I'll be paying them their hourly rate one-on-one for 7 hours trying to get to the bottom of understanding something. And then after 7 hours, I'm thinking, why didn't you just explain it like this? And I'll summarize it and they'll be like, oh, that's true. And then I'll go and teach that to my students and they'll just get it.
And now we have to then teach it to, we have to make sure our accountants understand that this is the right way of actually doing things.
Yeah.
You're giving us a lot of education for us to then go and implement it.
Yeah.
And feed it back to the people that are doing our accounts and doing,
yeah,
and doing
and
it
challenge
for
your
us.
Accountant, challenge your solicitor. People think, oh, the solicitor says I need to pay 10 grand stamp duty, I just pay it. No, yeah. Understand the rules and do you actually have to pay it?
And that there, I've never, you know, I think I have bought a property previously, which, you know, wasn't completely habitable, but I never really thought about that. Again,
yeah,
that's another thing that a lot of people don't realise. They just think they have to pay stamp duty, and many people probably have.
Yeah.
But again, on your course, these are the things we were able to learn. So I highly recommend people to come and join your course to be able to learn more about how to make things more effective, if they're in the property world or getting into the property world, how to implement it and do it the right way from,
yeah,
the beginning.
Well, that's a real compliment, and especially coming from someone like yourself that's got so many years in the business. What's your reason then? What's your strongest reason for doing this? What is it that gets you up in the morning and keeps you pushing and striving on your business?
I love the passive income. I love being able to, you know, I was with a friend a long time ago and he said to me, the best thing about the properties are just waking up and knowing that you've made money. You might wake up and you've got a booking. You might wake up and you've received rent. It's just constantly,
yeah,
ticking over. So I think having passive income and having an income from properties, there's no better income to have. Rather than you working your 9 to 5, working your ass off for someone else, you're actually doing it for yourself.
Yeah.
That's the beauty, and you're able to buy things with it, you're able to do things that you want to achieve, and give your family a better life.
What are your goals now then? Where's the next level for you?
I want to grow my business. So my company is called Mr. Sales and Lettings. We are based in Reading and Liverpool. We have properties in Preston, Coventry, Lancaster, a few other places that we are targeting at the moment. But I want to be nationwide. I'd like my estate agency to get to the position where we are across the country and we are helping find the right investments for the clients and going all the way through to managing them. And that's what we've been doing for a number of years. But I think now I'm able to grow bigger and better a lot quicker and just do it ethically.
As an estate agent then, someone that owns an estate agency, what are some tips that you would say to investors that are coming in? What are some of the things that they should stop doing? Because when I worked as an estate agent, you know, I did it for only about 6 months. You see things different from a different perspective. And now I cringe at some of the stuff that I used to do. So what are some of the things that investors do, how they talk to agents, how they approach deals, which they should stop?
I think with estate agents, number one, you know, even when I first went into Liverpool, so in Reading, I got to know people quite well. But when I was first taking on properties, it was really difficult to gain and build relationships with estate agents. They didn't really want to do business with me. It took me a while. But what I was able to do is I sort of went to them and said, look, I'm an investor. I have investors behind me. We are looking to buy properties and we're looking to push up, you know, to get as many properties as possible. It was only when I did a deal with one estate agent and bought 13 properties off one vendor who had 13 properties to sell and I had 13 clients to buy every single one. When I did that, it was only then I made a name for myself and then I got recognized. But I think for people, when you're getting into this business, you need to know what you're doing and how to do it, and you need to be around the right people. Mm-hmm. So I think coming to your training has helped me, and I think giving people that confidence in making the right steps and doing it the right way, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And I used to always say the best way to build a relationship with an estate agent is to buy from them. Because if you buy a deal through an estate agent, you're now a client and you've made that estate agency money. And then they'll be potentially passing you more and more deals because they know you're serious.
At the moment, I get deals coming to me a week before they will go to market. I get first dibs on them.
Because you're an estate agent or because you know what to say to other agents?
Because I've built up that relationship with them. Yes, I know what to say to them, but at the same time, I've built up those relationships. But like you said, once you buy that first one with that agent, they will keep coming back to you. If they know you've got the money or you've got the clients, they will come to you.
Another thing as well, I do when I ring agents, I did this the other day, I don't know if you, were you at the course?
Yep.
When I rang saw, up,
yep.
a lot of stuff happened, so but one of the things that happened was I said to someone, give me an area where you think it'll be really hard to find a deal. And they said the name of some little village.
Yeah.
I think in Surrey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Some little name in some little village. And I went, all right, cool. And I typed in the name of the village and I put estate agents. And about 10 estate agents came up. And I saw, that estate agency, who's a nationwide brand, and there's loads like Dixon's, Bairstow, Eaves. I think it was Hampton's.
It was Hampton's,
And I just rang them up in that area and I said, hey, I've previously actually bought through Hampton's before in such and such a branch. I'm looking to buy something in your area. And now it's like, oh, this guy has done business with us before. Yeah. It might have not been in that area with that estate agency, but the fact that it's the same chain, and his whole tone changed, didn't it? At first he was like, you know, really standoffish and how can I help? Oh, you're an investor looking to buy deals. And then as soon as I was like, I've bought actually through you before. She's like, oh, okay. How can I help you, Mr. Leeds? Oh, I can see on the system that you have. So use other deals as credibility to get your foot in the door.
Yeah, that's exactly what you need to do. And once you build those relationships, it's maintaining those relationships with those people. I think a lot of people don't realize, but you have to maintain relationships property, you can build your portfolio, you can build your skills by building up relationships. Yeah. So it's really important to have the right people around you at all time. And those people who aren't right for you, take them out of the equation as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
But having the right people around you is the most important thing.
And another thing is as well, when you ring up an agent and you say, have you got any, this is what I'm looking for, have you got anything? If they say, no, they haven't got anything, and I've not got anything available, don't just think, okay, cool. Contact them again. Like every week. Another thing is a lot of investors, this is one of the things that ticks me off. I used to, and I cringe now, when I'd call an estate agent, I used to, whenever they'd ask me for my details, if they'd say, oh, what's your details and we'll put you on the mailing list, I used to kind of like think, I don't want to give out my email and get spammed. No thanks. But how stupid is that? They're literally saying, we'll listen to your criteria and we'll keep you posted if anything comes up, and you're like, no. What? So now I'll ring up and I'm like, hey, take my email. You want to book me in for a mortgage appointment? Let me come to the office and have a mortgage appointment. My job when I was an estate agent used to be, when I'd book a viewing, I'd have to like upsell them to come and meet the mortgage broker. Everyone, when they say to me, do you want to come and meet our mortgage advisor? I used to be like, no. Now I'm like, I have already got a broker, but I'm very happy to come in and sit with your broker and have a chat. And if you can beat my broker, fine. That gives me now an opportunity to go to the office, have a cup of coffee, show them that I've got the finance. So my whole mentality after being an estate agent for 6 months just changed. You're from that world.
Yeah.
You're an estate agent, but you're also an investor. Do you think it gives you an advantage being an estate agent, also being
100%.
An investor? 100%.
It does give me the advantage. It was that experience that helped me realize these are the next steps. I need to make sure that I'm saying the right thing, I'm doing the right thing, but I know exactly how they work. Moving forward, even though, yes, now I own my own estate agency, it's making sure that I know the criteria and how to do it. But yes, it does certainly help having that experience.
What do you think as well about, you know, you've got the different strategies like lease options and rent to rents and BRR and the different things. When you go into an estate agent, generally speaking, they're not going to be clued up on those strategies. You can't just walk into it. I don't even say when I'm going into an estate agency, generally speaking, unless they really get it, like you, I'm not going to tell them I'm looking for a BRR. I'm going to tell them I'm looking for a flip.
Yeah.
Because everyone gets a flip.
Yeah, yeah.
Buying a house, doing it up, selling it. I'm looking for a flip. Obviously, I need to make a bit of profit. If it works for a flip, it works for a BRR probably. So it's also understanding the language. Lease option agreements. You can't walk into an estate agent and say, could I buy it now and pay for it later on a lease option agreement?
None of them will understand.
They won't. I mean, you just did one, two.
I've done two.
Two lease options.
Yeah, and that's purely just based on, you know, I have clients who are in a situation that they needed some help. So I'm able to help them, potentially offer them more money in the future, something that's favorable to them and me. But at the same time, I'm giving them a guaranteed rent for a period of time. So it helps secure them and gives them that period of time where now I can help them fix in their mortgage for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, I'm able to purchase the property for the agreed price.
Wow, that's awesome.
And again, this is something that I've learned from you, Samuel. I didn't know this. I've heard of it, but until I came on your course, I didn't realize how it worked.
So if anyone doesn't understand what a purchase option agreement is, could you just like summarize why it's good for them, why it's good for you?
It's allowing, you know, if you've got someone or you know someone who's in a situation who can't either afford their mortgage or is struggling or something's going on in their life, but they don't want to necessarily sell in this market. This market is turning into a buyer's market. It's turning into a buyer's market. So a lot of landlords, a lot of my clients are worried about not making the money that they may be able to. Whereas if you can do something decent for them and give them maybe £10,000 or £15,000 more than what the current market is giving, then that's beneficial for them, but you're not having to pay for it until 5 years later or 7 years later, depending on what deal you do with them. If you know their mortgage is, let's say, £700 and you're giving them, I don't know, £1,000 or £1,100, they've got, for the next 5 years, guaranteed £400 profit coming from that deal. Mm. And they've got that for the next 5 years. And then at the end of the 5 years, you've bought it off them for the price that you agreed today.
That's awesome.
It's really beneficial. And again, Samuel, this is all down to you.
Well, it's an honor, man. It's an honor.
Thank you so much.
There's nothing more rewarding than like sharing something and explaining the secret of how something works, and then people straight away, bang, 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 going and getting results. Because it's not just yourself. You know, on the Monday Night Masterminds, it's like every week. For me, it's quite humbling seeing the success.
And it's been great. I think there's so many things that I've learned over the courses that I'm now implementing one by one into making those changes and, yeah. and reducing my cost down. One of the biggest things for me in my business was cost savings. There are a lot of ideas you put towards us and said, right, these are the things we can do to implement. So that's just important to
me. How did you find your speech that you gave the other week? Because I put you on the spot slightly, but I asked you, there was 300 property investors, and I said to you, hey, would you like to deliver a 10-minute speech in front of these 300 people and just share your experience about property? And you did, and it was amazing. You stormed it, and everyone loved it, but how did you find that?
I'm not a very confident guy. I'm quite nervous. So yeah, it was, you only give me 20 minutes. But no, I really enjoyed it because I was able to put across what are my experiences and what I've been doing and what I've learned. And yes, it was very much, I was put on the spot, but I'm a people's person. So when someone's telling me something, I pick it up. I absorb it straight away. So yeah, I just felt like I had to tell everyone how I felt with the experience so far. And it's been fantastic.
I think if you're not being stretched and you're not growing, then you're dying, aren't you?
Yeah.
So it's great to see you, even now after so many years of being in the business, pushing yourself, being stretched.
With the estate agency, it's difficult. I think a lot of people don't realise it's quite cutthroat. Everyone's out for the same sort of business. You're really trying your best to make it work.
I wish that every estate agent in the country at least did my £1 crash course. Because I think if estate agents knew how it works, they got it. They'd be able to find us better deals.
100%. I think that all estate agents should be coming to your course and learning.
At least the £1 course. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to do the advanced courses.
I haven't been on the £1 course, but I think just going straight on and going on the academy made me benefit so much more. Yeah. And being on the 4 days intensives,
I think
that just absolutely was mind-blowing.
Well, I'm really pleased to know you. And you know what? You've been a massive asset to the academy as well. So I really am grateful for you sharing your story. You didn't have to give up your time today, but you did.
Thank you
and I hope that you inspire a lot of people. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Samuel. Pleasure.